This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Boycotts against VH1, the search for a black model, and preview of Jill Scott's new album. Here with the freshest in entertainment, we've got Allison Samuels, a correspondent for Newsweek. Hey, Allison.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, you have so much to talk about. Well, let's talk about VH1. There's websites, including EURweb.com, reporting a boycott because VH1 rejected a reality show with a racial spin, but it also accuses the network of deliberately stereotyping black people through its existing reality programming. So what's the show that they're talking about?
The show they're talking about was a show about an African-American woman. And it was Interracial Love, and I think that was the name of it, Interracial Love. And the African-American woman was going to be dating a white man. And she was going to be this educated, you know, lawyer woman, something you don't see that much of. And I guess during the meeting when the proposal was put forth, an authority at VH1 said, no, that show's not ghetto enough for us, so it's not what we want. And whoever the employee was, which was an African-American woman, leaked that out. And it's sort of gotten out over the websites, over a lot of blogs have been talking about it. And I think it's interesting, given that when you do look at the shows that they do have on, like Flavor of Love, like New York, New York, or even Charm School.
If you don't have gold fronts, you can't be on the show.
You can't be on there. And it's just this sort of, I'm amazed when people watch it, because I have so many friends that do watch it and enjoy it, and I watch it and I'm appalled. I'm just like, I don't really want to see this on TV for 30 minutes.
But is there a big enough movement around this to really change the game? Because there's always people like, you know, I think of Reverend Butts of Abyssinian Baptist. He rolled his steamroller over the rap records. Doesn't seem to have stopped 50 or Kanye or anyone else.
And BET. I mean, BET has certainly faced these same type of objections, although I think BET had a better situation, like with the Hot Ghetto Mess. They were able, protest did sort of go on. But that is with a black network. I don't know if VH1, whose I think bottom line is dollars, and Flavor of Love has done so well for them, and New York has done so well. My thing is, though, if you're going to have those shows, at least balance them. I guess that's what upset me, that you didn't see, that they didn't feel the need to say, okay, let's do this other show and show this other side of African-American women. But in their defense, that Rock of Love show is just as bad for white women. I'm amazed at what women will do to get on TV.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But I think for African-American women, because our positive images are so few and far between on mainstream television, I think it sort of hurts us a lot more.
Well, let's move on to black women of another stripe, another model, if you want to say. Mm-hmm. Supermodel Naomi Campbell taking fashion magazines like Vogue to task, saying they're making it harder for black models to make the cover. Mm-hmm. And veteran model turned model agent Beth Ann Hardison was inspired, and she's moderating a panel discussion today in New York that's going to ask the question, what happened to the black fashion model? Are black women in and out of Vogue? Are we kind of like high-heeled shoes or mini skirts or something?
Well, I think, yes, that's one answer to it. But I also think, and I've talked about this for a while, once the fashion magazines began putting celebrities on the cover, that was the end of the black fashion model, because there are very few celebrities of African-American culture that they feel or they deem, you know, important enough to put on the cover. Unless you're Beyonce, unless you're Halle Berry, they're not going to do it. And I think that's been the downfall of supermodels in general, because the term supermodel doesn't exist anymore. You may have a Giselle, you may have a Heidi Klum, but those are really the only two women that are household names that are supermodels now. And I think that's the disadvantage, right now for supermodels. But
so are you saying that this is not a black issue as much as just a general issue, or how does it parse out?
I think it's a general issue, but because African-Americans in everything. You know, the general issue affects us more because we are more of a disadvantage in the first place. There were so few supermodels that are, you know, that were African-American in the first place. Once they start sort of not only giving it to celebrities, and the part that amazes me about that is you see the same five women on these covers. If I read one more story about Ashley Simpson, who I have no idea what she does. I have never seen a movie or a song or anything, but she's on Cosmo every month. And it seems to me that the editors would go, let's take a chance. Let's put Sanaa Lathan on the cover. Let's put Nia Long on the cover. I don't understand what's so difficult. If you're not going to do the models, at least be diverse enough to get the black actresses to be on the covers. But even that's not sort of translating. So yeah, it's an African-American thing, but I do think that the overall demise of the supermodel is in general, and it's just affected us even more.
So we're on a roll, really talking about black women.
Right.
Jill Scott. She is a Philly soul singer, finished her third solo album. It's called The Real Thing, Words and Sounds, Volume 3, and the single is Hate on Me.
If I could give you the world on a silver platter, would it even matter? You'd still be mad at me.
So, the disc comes to stores September 25th. You got to sample it early. Couldn't wait to tell us about it. What's it like?
It's just fabulous. I mean, she's, and Jill is fabulous. I mean, you can't even, you know, words cannot even, you know, express how wonderful I think Jill is. And what I love about Jill is that I think we've definitely been in this glam mode for a really long time. And I love Beyonce. Let's be clear. I love her. But I do think that there is a movement and a place now for someone else to come along and sort of get some of that spotlight. And Jill is so real. She's not trying to be a size two. She's not trying to be. She's not trying to be upper. She's trying to be who she is, which is this great singer, this sort of real down to earth African American woman. And I think African American women really relate to that. She's going through a difficult divorce, which she talks about on her album. Just the heartbreaking, you know.
And in her first album, she wrote love songs about her husband. So it's like a cycle.
It really is, and it's sad, you know. But who doesn't go through that? I mean, that's the reality of life. You fall in love, and it doesn't work out, and you talk about it. And so I think, and I think Mary J. Blige has had sort of the sort of, she's done that a lot, and it's good to sort of hear someone else now have that story, because Mary's now
pass the mic.
Yeah, pass the mic. And I think Jill now has it, and her voice is just so strong and so powerful, and she's such a beautiful woman. But not in the typical way that we consider beauty. And I think that's why it was wonderful to see her on the cover of Essence, you know, in all her glory and all her beautiful and all her beauty, and realize that that's not the typical size two, you know, cheekbones, you know, just this sort of, you know, African-American strong features that you don't necessarily see all the time, not the Caucasian features that are so strongly sort of emphasized, I think, in mainstream beauty. So I just think it's not just the album, it's just the total Jill that I'm just happy to sort of see come back.
I love that, the total Jill.
The total Jill, yes.
Well, she also has been speaking out about music, saying that some of pop music is, quote, dirty, inappropriate, inadequate, mm-hmm. unhealthy, and polluted. We can demand more. However, mm-hmm. we sisters don't always demand more. We don't always ask for more. Is her kind of stance on music lyrics, on, you know, music in general, is it going to resonate, or are people just going to say, stop whining?
It's so tricky. It goes back almost to the VH1 thing, because you would think that there would be more people who would be offended by the images that are on that. I think we just become very complacent. I think we are so used to seeing those negative images that, particularly the younger generation, I don't know if we really even understand that we can say something, that it isn't like that, that we do need to make change. I think so many of the kids, like under 25, this is what they've grown up with. And they think, well, this is the norm. Why would I complain when this is how life is? And so I think that Jill's message, I hope we're in a time, particularly because Alicia Keys is coming out as well. So I'm hoping with both of them coming out with albums, I have to say Alicia's new song I'm not in love with. But, you know, I'm hoping with both of them coming out with this sort of strong sort of, we're women, respect us, we have talent, respect us, we're not handbags, which is what Alicia Keys was saying, that, you know, now women are accessories and that needs to stop. And so I think as long as it's two of them or even three, because I think Keisha Cole is also a powerful sort of woman. As long as we keep seeing those women come out, I think it'll at least demand people's attention for a little while.
Well, let's take a 60-second pop through hip-hop landia. Kanye, 50, going mano a mano on the whole album sales tip. Here's a little bit from Kanye.
I really like 50. I don't want him to retire once my album sells the most. I just want him to just say right now, please, 50, do not retire once my album sells and beats your album. Please do not retire, 50, please.
That's right. Curtis, also known as 50 Cent, saying that he would retire if he doesn't win on the one-on-one battle that started on September 11th when both the albums dropped. Who's winning?
Kanye's winning, which I think anybody should have realized was going to happen, because Kanye has a more mainstream base. And I think that, you know, he's winning like about 200,000, which is a pretty significant amount. But let's be clear, who's winning? Everybody's winning, because hip-hop has been in a slump. And there hasn't been anything interesting going on in hip-hop for a while now. And these two guys come up with this sort of, you know, hype beef, this sort of semi-beef or pseudo-beef, and people were talking, and they get the cover of Rolling Stone looking at each other, posturing, and I'm just like, of course this hype. You would never have seen Biggie and Tupac, get on the cover of a magazine, opposing each other, looking, you know, putting on acts. They had a real beef. This is a let's make money beef. Let's get people talking about this beef. And it's worked. I think it's an ingenious plan by those two guys, because he's, you know, 50's one, Kanye's one, Kenny Chesney's one. Because, I mean, he came in and said, I could beat both of y'all. I don't think he is the country music singer, right. But he is, I think, he's battling 50 Cent right now for number
two. He's trying to get in the middle, huh?
He's trying to get in the middle, which I thought was cute.
A little hip-hop sandwich.
Yeah. it was cute, though. But I think overall hip-hop is one because people are talking again. People were really motivated to go out and buy the albums of both of them. And the last rap album that topped the charts, Common, was sold like 100,000. So, you know, 50's at 550 and Kanye's at 750,000. That's a huge jump.
Ka-ching. Allison, yes, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Allison Samuels is a national correspondent for Newsweek.